Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Tim, everyone's back. Look around.
I see them all. They're all lining up out the door to try to get in here.
We can only let so many in. It's fire codes.
Yeah.
Fire codes are so important, and I think people...
Oh, it's one of the things that we here at Isaac Improv take so seriously.
We're so serious.
About fire codes. And American-made cars.
That's what we are passionate about. Telling the truth. Honesty.
And honesty. And...
Oh.
Integrity.
Hmm.
And...
Now I feel like you're running for office.
Good smelling... Soaps.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that changed with the season.
Yeah.
Big seasonal soap guy.
Big apple pie pumpkin soap in the fall.
Should I got them kinda apple guy. Pie soaps. Welcome to the Bible's Funny Podcast, everybody.
It's good to have you here.
My name is Anthony Russo. I'm here with Tim Wyckoff. We're so excited to be here with you today. We have a lot of fun things to talk about, Tim. Lots of fun things going on.
Oh, why you put me on the spot?
Tim.
I don't have anything fun to...
Tim.
Okay, fine. I got $1 billion.
I didn't think you were going to tell everyone, but there were definitely signs.
There it is.
That you got $1 billion. You could tell.
That's my exciting news. I just got it. And then, unfortunately, I just lost it.
Please forget where you put it. Here on the Bible's Funny Podcast, we talk about the Bible. We like to say, you know, we're exploring the Bible together. With you, the listener. This is not the podcast where you're getting your most in-depth theological, philosophical, spiritual resources and connectivity. But this is a podcast where we're going through the Bible together. So it's kind of fun. We like to point out some funny stuff that we find. We like to call it, we bottle up all those feelings and thoughts into something we call cheat day devos, right? This is your devos for the day.
All about a cheat day.
It's fun. We're laughing together. We laugh. Live, love, laugh.
I think Jesus would have laughed and lived and loved just like us today.
There was a painting.
Just right now.
There was a painting in my Sunday school when I was growing up of Jesus laughing. Throwing his head back.
Oh, with all the children.
There was no children in mine.
It was really?
It was just a bust. Just the head.
Oh, maybe I did see that one. I thought there was one where it was like he's suffering the children. And he's just having a good old time. Just all the kids are here.
Grandpa. He's suffering the children?
No, suffering, like suffer the children. Not making them suffer.
Is that?
Those are different.
Is it one of those like flammable and inflammable things?
No, I don't think so. But it's like women's suffrage. It's not bad. That's a good... That's them, like, being
okay,
able to vote.
Okay, hot take. I think women's suffering is bad.
Right.
But Tim has stated...
No.
He does not think it's bad. I just want to show where we stand on the issue of women's suffrage.
Yeah, and I'm telling you that I know words.
I don't want women to suffer. So I'm not... I cannot stand by it.
You're digging yourself a hole, Ant.
Listen, I don't know how words work. Today's episode is going to be very fun, but I got some business to take care of first. Today's episode is brought to you by Crocs. Are you looking for a shoe that seamlessly transitions from day to night? A shoe that you can dress up or dress down? A shoe with a sport mode and a leisure mode built in? Check out Crocs. You can tell they're different than gaiters by the shape of their snout. It's also Justin Timberlake's favorite shoe.
Wow.
Crocs.
Are you not even wearing yours?
No, they're in the garage. Crocs are so unassuming. They ask nothing from you.
It's because they deserve nothing.
And they just are like, what are we doing today? We're taking care of a dead rat? Cool. I'm here. we go into the grocery store? Cool. I'm here. I'm down. Crocs are your friend who's like always available to pick you up at the airport at terrible times.
There's a reason why they're always available is that nobody wants to hang out with them. The
Crocs.
Friend, not the Crocs. I would never say that about Crocs.
The Crocs.
No.
Yeah, thank you. Today's episode is brought to you by them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So today we're going through Genesis chapter 26 and 27. Tim, you ready?
I'm
into it?
Ready. Let's do it.
Genesis chapter 26. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. Listen, don't get the famines confused.
Yeah.
This is a different famine. Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while. I'll be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father, Abraham. So we're getting some like doubling down of this prophecy through which Isaac, it will come to fruition. I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Give them the lands. And through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him. So you get
Of kids. You're going to have lots of nations, lots of people. There's going to be a lot of people. A
lot of people. Abraham, and it says, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands and my decrees. So Isaac stayed in Gerar.
It sounds soft G. I would have said Gerar.
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 Gerar Gepardieu.
Gerard Butler. When the men of that place, this is verse 7, asked him about his wife, she said...
He said.
When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, she is my sister.
What?
Because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca because she is beautiful. Now, you diehard listeners of the podcast...
feel like I've heard this before.
You feel like you're turned into an old episode. But no, in fact, this is Isaac doing what Abraham did twice.
Yep.
Isaac's just doing it again.
Like father like sons.
It's what it reminded me of. And it reminded me of like, it's like when you're a parent and your kids pick up the not great things you do. Like it's like my biggest pet peeve. You're like, of all the things that I'm doing, I think that are positive, that I'm happy and proud of. It's like the one like bad habit you have.
I'm trying to think if I have one.
Oh my gosh. For me right now, the most recent one, this is very, very recent. Crosby, my oldest, will have like a lot of energy at a time when the people around him do not have a lot of energy. And yeah. So I'll be like, buddy, can you just chill a little bit? Like you're up moving around, you're doing all these things. And then I'm just like, doggone it. This is me. I am him. And this is where he got this from.
Yeah. I think similarly, I do the like... I've caught myself like mid-sentence saying things to my oldest going like, you can't just play all the time. Okay, if you set yourself up right, you kind of can. But like right now you can't.
Right.
I can. Right. I'm an adult.
Right.
Who has a driver's license and expendable income.
Yeah, he does.
I can play.
Yeah.
When I'm not working. But
you
can't just play all the time.
So Isaac picks up this little trait where he tells rulers that this is not his wife, it's his sister. Verse 8, when Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebekah. Content warning there. NSFW. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, she is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister? Which I just want to say is the kindest interpretation of the visual that Abimelech happened upon on that fateful day. If someone says to you, this is my sister, and you look down and see what Abimelech saw.
caressing.
I feel like you might assume some much more unkind things. Like, wow, what an odd group we have here in our town.
Right.
I don't know about this.
And if I'm Isaac, honestly, in this particular situation, I say double down on the lie. Like, no way, man. Me and my sister, we're just real close. Like, you know, like we've been cresting each other since we were babies, man. It's cool where we come from. It's just like certain parts of West Virginia, man.
That's not the move.
Fine.
So Isaac answered him, because I thought I might lose my life on account of her. Again, I just can't, the women in these stories, Sarah and Rebecca, just got to feel so loved and cared for and looked after when their husbands are like, I was really concerned for my safety in this situation. So I made up lies about our relationship. Because again, and not to repeat stuff we already repeated, but because like, what if the king comes and takes her? This is what happened. You watched this happen. Isaac, like you were aware of this story.
Right. If they're bad enough to just kill you for having for having a wife that they want, then they're probably bad enough to just kill you for her being your sister anyway.
Take her. This isn't gonna play out well. This is not a great lie.
But it's funny that they all turn out to be just fine. They're like a nice old group of folks, little Midwesterners. Like, oh, why would we kill? We don't want We'll get there.
We just would rather not be lied to.
We don't want the guilt.
Right.
They're like, we don't want to feel guilty about killing you. Like, that's, yuck. I'm offended.
Right.
That's them going, I'm offended that you would have us potentially feel guilty for taking your wife.
It's somehow worse. This is such a good point. Sometimes you like assume someone's going to behave a certain way. Like they're going to criticize, like, I don't know, you or something or your clothes or you. We do this in our head. We're like, I don't want to do that because then they're going to respond this way. And then when you find out that they're like completely normal, lovely people, you're like, oh,
I'm the monster.
I've made this. I'm the bad guy.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on because it's getting farther away from being a cheat day, Debo.
You almost learned something there.
A real lesson.
That's right. Abimelech said, what is this you've done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife. And you would have brought guilt upon us.
Guilt? Who wants guilt?
Guilt? It's a married woman. So Abimelech gave orders to all the people. Anyone who harms this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Isaac, you could have had these orders days ago if you would have just told me what was going on. So Isaac plants crops in the land and his crops grow. He has flocks and herds. Kind of summed up here. Verse 15. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father's Abraham, the Philistines had stopped him up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You've become too powerful for us. So between there, he's planting things. He's growing.
Right. So the situation is there's a famine and he's growing too much food. So he's getting paid for it as a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, yeah, stop providing food for us
in the middle
of this famine. Get out of here.
Don't like that. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, perhaps, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them.
I want to know what the well naming process is like. Is it like the same as with kids or dogs? Like... This well shall be called Frank, for he is mighty and wide. And this well shall be called Joe, for he is a slacker and produces very little water and doesn't live up to his full potential.
Joe is like on the work crew. Hey,
guys.
What?
Come on.
Different Joe. I have to assume, unfortunately, that there's probably like digging wells in a desert is a really, really hard job. And the guy that dug all the wells... does not get to name the well. That like you're like, boss, we did it. It was weeks and months. All of us nearly died, but we did it. We dug the well, and then that person shows up.
And he goes, oh, you know what a good name for that well is? Dug.
This well has been dug. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. This is verse 20. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Essek.
Which means dispute.
Because
I looked it up.
Disputed with him. So there's how a well gets named.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna.
Sitna! I like that name. That name means opposition.
Oh.
Again, I looked it up.
He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. So he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land.
Mm-hmm. And that one means room.
That one to me?
Yeah.
Very literal.
Also looked it up.
Very literal. I love that as a case in point for, like, you know, sometimes when the going gets tough, you just got to quit and go somewhere else.
Oh, for sure.
Just give up.
I like to cower a little bit at the same time. Like, just slide in my Crocs and just back up.
Just going against it. We built a well and there was an argument. So we were like,
we'll just dig another. It can't be that hard to dig through earth with no, you know, modern tools or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's a scene worth seeing is Isaac peacemaking. Oh God. Hey, listen, it's no big deal. We'll just go build another well. The well diggers are like,
you son of a,
who's we?
If Father Abraham were alive today.
So they finally get the well situation figured out. So from there, he goes to Beersheba. Verse 24, the Lord appears to him, says, I'm the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. We get the blessing and the descendants again. Verse 20.
Yada, yada, blessings, descendants.
Blessings, descendants. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces.
I wondered how we... I was wondering how we were going to pronounce that name. Is it Fecal?
Ooh.
Because if he's an advisor to Abimelech, I want Abimelech at some point to say something like, "This is a fecal matter." It's a fecal matter.
It works. It's not a great name a couple ways, because I read it first as Fickle, and it's like the commander of his forces. Like, you don't, it's not a trait you want associated with that person. Of like, you know, guys, we are going to go to war today. I think we are. Oh, I don't know. I heard it was going to rain. Ah, you're probably right. Probably just stay home. Everybody gets the day off.
Smell in here? That's fecal.
It's a fecal. That's a fecal matter. So Isaac, so they come in, Abimelech and his posse come in, Isaac sees them, they chat, they kind of make a treaty here, is the end of this segment.
Right, which is funny, like, it's pretty convenient, like, he kicked him out, Abimelech was like, "Get out of here, you're too powerful," and he's like, okay, so he leaves, and then it's like, wait, no, there's like really no rain, and there's no food.
You have the food.
So can we make a truce? Isaac's like, "Yeah, I didn't hate you guys to begin with. Yeah, we're cool, man."
Right.
"You're the one who told me to get out." Okay, yeah.
Right, right. They're like kicking him out. They're just being real fickle about the whole interaction. Kick him out, want to be friends. Not to leave the note without completely covering the well subject. Mm-hmm. Verse 32, that day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We found water." She called it Sheba.
Did the work, yeah.
To this name, to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba.
Mm,
Beersheba.
Mm-hmm. So the name Sheba means oath or seven.
Oh.
And so I take that literally to mean a beer oath. A Beersheba.
A beer oath.
A beer oath. And I swear by my beer oath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The highest of oaths. Verse 34, when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith. And of all the names we will discuss in this chapter, that is my favorite. That there is a strong Judith. And you're probably thinking when you hear that name, like most do, lovely person, angel among us, brings great light and energy everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
She's the daughter of Beeri the Hittite. Esau also marries Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. Basemath is the style of math that your uncle keeps complaining about that they're teaching in the elementary schools right now. Verse 35, Judith and Basemath were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah.
Mm-hmm. Just the two of them.
Judith.
Hittites.
Judith. Some names I just feel like I don't, you know, Judge Judy, beloved person, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, Judith, if you're doing the hard TH on Judith, Judith, you're like a villain.
Disgust.
So
Judith was the daughter of Beeri the Hittite,
mm-hmm.
And then Basemath was the daughter of Elon mm-hmm. the Hittite, and Beeri and Elon the Hittites. It's a little known fact that they were actually the inspiration behind Sesame Street's Bert and Ernie. The Puppites.
The Puppites. Oh. Classic. They had to say Elon the Hittite because they didn't want Elon Musk. There'd be confusion.
Yeah.
Not that one. Elon the Hittite. We're into chapter 27 now. And this is a great one. This is an all-time great chapter. All the chapters of the Bible are great, obviously.
Right, right. But if we're doing, rating them, what did we say we were doing?
You can rank them. They're all great.
All 10 out of 10. Yeah.
Or 7 out of 7, maybe.
Ooh, or 70 times 7 out of 7. Come on. Got him with the Bible stuff. So ranking them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one's up there of like.
Gotta be.
This is a classic. The fun one,
mm-hmm.
deceit, deception,
mm-hmm.
Moms pitting kids against their other kids. Anyway, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, too much. It's.
I think we have to say spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. We're reading the thousands of year old Bible to you. Chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I'm now an old man and don't know the day of my death." That's different.
Different than when we were, I was young. I knew it. Knew now sure. I'm now. Getting old. I forgot it.
"Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Pop-Pop gets a treat.
Mm-hmm. So to recap for everyone who hasn't been paying attention, Isaac and Esau are like buddy-buddy. So Esau yes. is Isaac's
right.
favorite son. He's got right. two. So Esau is like hairy and awesome and strong and manly and hunts wild game, and Isaac just That's loves him. Not to say he doesn't love his other kid, but mm-hmm. probably doesn't. And then Rebecca, his wife, likes the other kid. She likes Jacob, right. who's maybe a little more dainty, yeah. He's a little more smooth skinned, mm-hmm. a little fair skinned.
Yeah,
doesn't really do the whole hunting thing so much.
Yeah,
might play the harpsichord. I don't know. I don't know what he's into.
I think at one point it says hangs by the tents.
Yeah, he's just
comfortable.
He sweeps, yeah. maybe doing a little tidying up.
Yeah.
That's his role. Anyway, there's nothing better, good or bad about any of their characteristics.
No.
It just happens to be that Jacob right. favors Esau, or Isaac favors Esau, and Rebecca favors Jacob.
Yeah.
That's all.
Quick side question for you. Do you think this is, like, really common in families where, like,
yes.
you connect with a parent
yes.
and kid connect better?
Yes.
Not that people don't love each other. That's not what we're saying.
Right. You don't have a favorite?
But you have, like, this one, it's very, like,
yeah.
kind of
yeah.
effortless, and you're like, oh, man, we sync up so fast. This yeah. one I'm a little bit like. Is it usually the one that's more like you or less like you, do you think?
Oh, I think more like you.
You're like the one that's maybe, a little bit more hard. Like you.
Maybe, I don't know, like personality sometimes. But yeah, if you have like kind of common interests and personality, those things line up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so too. I think a lot of times people look back on these and like, oh, the favoritism and those. And I'm like, yeah, I think they were like definitely not avoiding it as much as they probably should have.
But. Right. Like you don't have like, you kind of have like best friends or favorite friends, but like you are gonna hang out with people that you have common interests with.
Right.
Same goes with your kids.
Right, right.
You can't like neglect them. You have to feed them. Either way.
Or so Tim's been told many times. Keep reminding him. Mm-hmm. I also love the setup of 27.
Yes, Your Honor. I will feed my daughter.
This time.
Both of them.
I'm serious this time. I love the setup of 27 of like, you get this, like, I'm going to pass, I have something. But before I do, if you could, I don't want to be a fuss, if you could run out, take a bow, because this is not a quick prize. This isn't like go to Chipotle. He's got to go hunt an animal with a quiver and a bow.
I guess if you're not very good at it, it's not like Chipotle. But he does have to cook it. So.
Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, then I may give you my blessing before I die. Pop-Pop gets a treat. Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
So she's standing in the
closet of
doorway.
The tent.
She hears. Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back. Rebecca said to her son Jacob,
uh-huh.
Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. My son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat it so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Little behind the scenes question I have.
Uh-huh.
This is like a one of those, like, we're not going to get an answer. But the fact that Rebecca so confidently is like, I know what your dad's asking for, and I know how to make it, says to me, I don't think Esau ever cooked. I think Esau just brought it back, and then Rebecca made it all for, and maybe Isaac had, like, logged it as, like, this is all Esau does, all these great, my son's so great, does these great things. But I think Rebecca probably saw him in there. And was like, I'll make it. I know what we're supposed to do in here.
Okay.
That's my theory. I'm speaking in a little
okay.
bit. That she's so quick to be like, I know how to make it. I'm going to make it either way. So let me just make it for you. You're my favorite. You're going to get the blessing. I'm not dying on that hill.
But she's saying, like, go to the grocery store, get those two goats. Right. We have those.
Just right.
Go get those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kill them.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to die.
You think, like, she had Jacob kill him? Or he was like, I don't want to get my hands.
Yeah, I think they were both. Yeah, I don't think they. Yeah, well, that's a good question. I'm curious, personality-wise. Maybe they were just more. They were probably all just a lot more comfortable with that stuff back in the day. So then verse 11, Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? Kind of funny because, like, of the whole premise is so, like, kind of like, wow, we are undertaking a big thing. And this is the first problem that Jacob comes up with is, like, the skin situation.
What if my dad wants to hug me?
What if he wants to hug?
I don't know that I've ever done that before.
No. What if my father touches me? I would, oh, this is great in 12. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, if I went in there under false pretenses with a meal that he thinks is coming from someone else and I'm pretending to be someone else, there's a chance.
It would appear.
He gets the impression.
And others might as well, if they don't know intimately what's actually going on.
I don't want to send the wrong message.
It would seem like I'm being deceived.
It just,
the history books would write it one certain way, and we don't want that.
No, we don't want that, because it would come across that way. Verse 12, I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and go get them for me.
I see her, like, rolling her eyes there. Just kind of the same way, like, just let the curse fall on me. Just freaking go.
Yeah.
Like, go get the, I'll kill the goats. Just
honestly, Rebekah killed the goats.
Go.
She's got what it takes
just
to kill the goats.
Bring them here. I'll get them.
So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food. I love the tasty in this NIV. It's great. Just the way his father liked it. And Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. Verse 16, very peculiar. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins.
Mm-hmm.
And she handed her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made.
Yeah, these are the fresh goat skins, too.
Those goats just passed.
Like, this is sticky.
It's also got me wondering, like, okay, if you're Jacob and you're like, oh, that guy's a little hairier than me. We've all seen, like, a hairier fella versus a fair-skinned fella. Mm-hmm. And we say, yeah, there's definitely a difference. Goat skins is a pretty dramatic, yeah, like, answer to that question.
Yeah.
Like, goats are very hairy, mm-hmm, as it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
So it fills in my head a question of, like, what is Esau... Is he more like Bigfoot than person at this, right, point? Like,
maybe it's just like the goat belly hair. You know, it's just, he's a little less.
Oh,
just a little less belly hair.
Maybe. Maybe they trimmed it up a little bit. You're right. They could have dolled up this goat hair. There's just such a place, such Mr. Tumnus energy to be like.
I imagine Rebekah, like, kind of closing her eyes and rubbing her hands on the goat fur. Like, oh, yeah, that feels like a brother.
That's about right. That's about right. So then she solves this 17. She handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she'd made. He went to his father. So Rebekah's done a lot of work. She's got the food date right. She's got all this together. She's got the stuff.
Very House of Cards-ish.
Yeah, she's pulling the strings, right? She's like making this stuff happen. She's like, you were going to do this. Okay, here's the plan. And then Jacob's like, well, what if he tries to hug me? What do I do if he tries to hug me? Like, Jacob's giving you this, like, he's not sure about the plan the whole time. But at the end of the day, like, Rebekah can't go in there. Jacob's got to go in there. So he goes in there in verse 18. He went to his father and said, my father? And I said, yes, my son. He answered, who is it? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Which I just love in 19, because it's such like a, okay, I want you to pretend, almost like maybe like an improv skit when you're like, pretend to be a mailman. Hi, I'm Bill the mailman.
Oh, your whole title, too. All right.
Oh, okay. So we're doing the whole thing. I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. And Isaac says, how'd you find it so quickly, my son? And Jacob says, the Lord your God gave me success, he replied.
Which is like the elementary school church answer of Jesus.
God?
God made me find it?
No, Billy, I asked where you got a cookie from.
Jesus?
No, there's a source to the cookies is what I'm saying.
Jesus.
He's not wrong. Somebody. Come on, somebody.
Hey, man.
But Isaac said to Jake, so he says, the Lord your God gave me success. I also love when people are using, in the Old Testament, when they're using God in like a I'm not sure way. We've learned this the last couple of chapters. It's like, the Lord your God.
Your God.
God, you seem to know him. He seems to know you. The Lord your God. Then Isaac says to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not.
We knew it.
He's already kind of like thinks this is fishy. You know, something's up. And this is what, you know, Jacob was afraid of. He said, what if he tries to hug me? I don't want to be hugged. The old jig will be up.
Jacob's like, or Isaac's senses are a little heightened because his eyes are going. And
yeah.
He's like, this tastes like farm-raised game. Is this grass-fed? This isn't wild.
The muscle is underdeveloped in this one. Mm-hmm. The wild goats hit different. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy, like those of his brother Esau. And the specific shout out to the hands.
Right.
I'm telling you, I'm picturing Bigfoot now when I think of Esau. Just a hairy creature.
You think they would did? I think they did like little individual strips for the knuckles too. That's how you know someone's hairy. Gosh,
Rebecca's like crushing it. She had a whole costume later.
Right.
Preparing this. Working on this goat-based costume.
She's in charge of wardrobe for the family.
Mm-hmm. And the straight call out in 22. You sound just like Jacob. But your hands are hairy, so I guess we're good to roll. Did not recognize him. His hands were hairy like those of Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. And then one more time in 24. Are you really my son, Esau?
He knows.
Just to do one more verification. You have to tell me. If you're a cop. Are you really my son Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. My theory might be at this point that he's just hungry. He's been like, he can smell the food now. He's like, he's probably isn't right, but whatever. I'm going to eat and we'll do the thing. Jacob brought it to him and he ate and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So he went in and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him. So there's the last little piece that Rebecca had planned for. The smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And he gives them this very nice blessing. 29, be the Lord over your brothers and the sons of your mother.
Heaven's down dew to you. And earth's riches, grain and my, he gets all the things. Mm-hmm.
After Isaac finished blessing him, Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence when his brother Esau comes in from hunting. Bum, bum, bum. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. And he said to him, my father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may get your blessing. His father Isaac asked him, who are you?
Who?
Her? I am your son, he answered, your firstborn, Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted the game and brought it into me? I ate it just before you came in and I blessed him. And now I'm so full I can't even eat this stuff. Well, I guess I'll try it because you went through all the trouble. I added that part. I ate it just before you came in and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed. I've made a huge mistake. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry, said to his father, bless me. Me too, my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he's taking advantage of me. He took my birthright and now he's taking my blessing. Both of these thieveries happened around food. And like I said, it would be funny if Isaac was motivated by hunger to go ahead and go through with the blessing.
Right. Yes, get it over with.
Hell, I am really hungry.
Give me that game.
I am really hungry. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? This is a great verse 36. Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?
Like, sorry, bro. We're fresh out of blessings here. You can have extra curse that your brother didn't want.
Like a carton of eggs or something. Did you give him all the eggs? You didn't save any eggs? They're blessings. I would assume you could... say something nice.
No.
My today's interpretation of this would be like compliments. If you had one kid, you were like, you're so great. You do it so great at school. Mm-hmm. You're so great with your friend. You're awesome, man. Good job. And the other kid was like, anything from on my end?
No.
Oh, no. I gave out all the compliments. So what am I supposed to say to you now? They're all gone. They were here. if you'd got here earlier. Isaac answered Esau, I've made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and I've sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? It's over. Esau said to his father, do you only have one blessing? Bless me too, my father. Esau's weeping at this point in verse 38. And Isaac answers him, fine. Okay, fine. I got one. I can just whip something up here. I wasn't prepared.
Let me see what I can come up with.
Let me just look at you, let my heart fill up with feelings, and say, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you'll throw his yoke from your neck.
Oh, that's a blessing. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, I think if you're Esau, you're like, what if we just hit rewind and pretend you didn't say that? Because I think it would be better if you just hadn't said that.
I'll just pass. I'm good.
Can I decline?
Can I say pass?
Can I decline the penalty on this one? I don't want that, what you just said. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of his blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Rebekah was told that her older son Esau had said that. She sent for her younger son Jacob, said to him, Esau's planning to avenge himself by killing you.
Okay, so Esau said to himself, the days of mourning of my father are near, and I will kill my brother Jacob. So, and then Rebekah was told what he said. So did he say that out loud to himself?
Yeah.
Is that like one of those movie scenes where you're like, I'm just going to say what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's right, I am. I do it all the time. No need for exposition. No need for a narrator. I just say what's on my mind.
He can't keep getting away with this. And Rebekah is literally in every doorway of this house.
Right, it's a tent.
She's always there. So she finds this out. Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother's no longer angry with you and forgets about what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from here. Why should I lose both of you in one day? 45 is funny to me because the concept of like when he forgets what you did to him.
Yeah.
There's no TV at this point in life. There's no movies. There's no sports to watch.
He's so pissed he's going to kill you.
Right.
He'll probably forget.
How long do we think?
It'll blow over.
What in the daily rigmarole of him just doing very normal things with nothing to distract him, when do you think he will forget the family trauma he just experienced? Rebecca says to Isaac in 46, I'm disgusted with living. Love this. I love the drama out of Rebecca in this the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a great way to start a negotiation. Come in really hot, you know, like really exaggerate. Gives me the vibes of like a infomercial. Like, are you tired of cooking eggs? And they're trying to cook an egg and they like hit themselves with the pan and... Oh, I never, how does anybody do this? I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living. Period.
End of chapter.
End of chapter.
Wow. Wow.
That's what we in the business call a cliffhanger.
Dun, dun, dun.
You gotta tune in to next week's episode if you want to hear the rest of her monologue.
I know. I can't wait. I didn't skip ahead.
Yeah, that, and good. That's right. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if the next couple chapters of Genesis have been released yet. They come out on Thursdays.
They are. It's on Amazon Prime.
So
we did it. We did it, man.
Yeah. That was a ride. We went through a lot of stuff there.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, we like to kind of mess around. I love the dialogue. Like the conversation, I feel like I'm in the tent.
It's so good.
With Isaac and Jacob and Esau. Like, I feel like I'm there. And
yeah.
Maybe it's because of past history with growing up in church and sort of hearing this story multiple times. But,
yeah.
But I feel like I'm with the characters. But one of the ways I imagine these conversations going is
right.
like I imagine the dynamic and relationship between Isaac and Esau, like,
yeah,
because yeah, you do kind of have like your not your favorites, but you can like I can talk to my oldest daughter a little bit more about like the youngest one, and kind of like we're on the same page about some stuff. So I like, it's just a little bit easier conversation.
Sure.
And so I imagine in this scenario, like, there wasn't anybody going like, hey, you can't play favorites. That's mm-hmm. not cool. That's right. not a cool way to be a dad.
Right, right.
They didn't know.
No.
And so I think they just embraced it.
Did it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Abraham's story was like,
yeah,
he's got all these kids.
You're just nope, like, you're not my kid.
See you guys.
You are my one and only yeah, kid.
Right.
But you got these others. So I reimagined. I took a little liberty and I sent it to you. You just scroll down. I just kind of reworded. I wrote it as a little script.
Oh, okay.
Of Jacob and, or sorry, yeah, of what happened with Jacob going in to steal the blessing from Isaac or steal it from Esau.
Yeah.
But just to go into. Into the tent.
Oh, I love this. So you wrote like the dialogue out a little more thoroughly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And much like I want to qualify this, I took some liberties with some of the text.
Well, sure.
Played around with it a little bit.
That happens.
But, you know, everybody does that.
This is not...
If you look at different interpretations of the Bible, people are doing
it. Say it a little this way, say it a little that way.
And they're making money on it. And I'm not.
You're not?
Crocs is different.
That money, the Croc money?
Croc's money is different. So yeah, I wrote it down. I see you as playing Jacob, the son.
The role of Jacob will be played by me then.
Uh-huh. And I'll be Isaac.
Okay.
Let me get in. All right, you got it?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
My father?
Yes, my son. Who is it?
I am Esau, your firstborn. I did that thing you wanted and killed all those animals. I killed the animals and made us a nice little wild game stew. You're our favorite.
How did you find it so quickly, my son?
God probably. Yeah, or luck. I mean, I'm really good, but yeah, let God.
Come near so I can touch you, my son. You know, so I could just confirm whether you really are my son Esau or not.
Yeah, Dad. Of course, you know me, always wanting to hug my old daddy-o.
The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. What I mean by that is, you sound like a chirping little sparrow, even though you have the hairy, manly hands of Esau, which you are, of course, right?
Yeah, Dad, I am. I mean, I am.
My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing.
Here, Dad, it's very wild, so just be careful.
Come here, my son, kiss me.
Sure, sure, definitely have done this before with you, so it's not weird. I'm happy to kiss my old pops again. Definitely, definitely feel good about this. And I'm going to assume we're cheek kissers.
Son, let me give you my blessing.
Yes.
Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. So sweet like rain and fragile like a baby chicken or a helpless fawn or your brother Jacob.
Well, I think fawns are probably tougher than they look.
May God give you heaven's dew. And Earth's richness. Obviously, you've got the animal killing thing down, so may you be blessed with other abilities, like the ability to gather plants and make olive oil, and those cute little nifty friendship bracelets like your brother makes.
Well, in fairness, they're not just cute, they're functional too. They can be sweat guards if you're hunting, or if it gets hot outside, or...
Be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May your puny brother Jacob work for you. I mean, obviously he will. He's such a turd, as you know.
I mean, I wouldn't say turd per se. He's definitely got some good qualities about him. Not that you would know, you're not even wearing the friendship bracelet he spent a whole weekend making.
May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed.
Well, maybe we don't have to leave just curses. Maybe we leave a little blessing on the bone for the next guy.
Never! Everyone be cursed! Everyone but you, my son Esau, whom I love.
And who I am. that's good.
And scene.
Oh, the line that got me was the, it's wild. Be careful.
Careful, Dad. I know what I like the idea of you leaning for the kiss. I know how to do this because we've done, you and I kissed, Dad. Yeah. I'm familiar with you.
That's so real that you included that because I don't know if you've been involved in a kissing situation that you were not ready for. Like, there's people who greet with kisses.
I've been ready with all my kissing situations. Okay.
There's, like, I've been greeted by, like, an older person or something who's coming in for a kiss on the cheek, and I'm not ready for it. So I have to shift gears very quickly.
Yeah.
And then I'm, like, my mouth is pointed, like, to stinking Seattle, and I'm just making kissing noises, like, did we do it? I don't know what happened. I blacked out. Like, if you're not ready for the cheek kisses and you end up in that situation, you're like, well, I don't know. What are the rules?
Right.
What are we doing here?
Right. No. It's usually with friends' wives, too. I know that sounds weird, but it hasn't happened in a while.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with a good little cheek kiss.
Oh, it can be so normal and pleasant and nice. And
But then you got to decide whether you're going for the other one, too. Are we going, like,
are we doing both? French,
Italian, whatever?
Right. And I do not know any of these customs or things, so I end up... I just make a kissing noise. It's the only tool I have. Yeah.
But I do it with my tongue.
Okay. Hopefully the listeners...
That's how I kiss on the cheek.
Turned out. Also, you know what? This also hit me. I didn't realize this before. Was it's like the... You know, you come in, you say you're Esau. It's almost like the two-factor authentication we're doing right now. You know, like it's the first form of, hey, Google, it's me on my computer.
Let me see your face.
Trying to log in. Oh, yeah? Where's your phone?
Let me text you.
What's your mom's maiden name? Jeez, it's me. I just said it was me on my computer. And it always works, as this showed.
Identity theft. It's a serious problem. It's been going on for thousands and thousands of years.
Not a joke, Jim.
That's what this episode is titled.
What is the first thing you learned? What's your big takeaway from today?
Oh, geez. Don't just get good at kissing your dad. Yes, good. You never know when you're going to need it. Good takeaway.
Mine is, listen, if someone gives you a friendship bracelet, wear it. You know, because it takes time to make those things, and it's nice. It's a nice thing.
It's a nice thing.
If Taylor Swift has taught us nothing, it's wear friendship bracelets. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for listening. That was Genesis 26 and 27. We'll be back here soon, covering more of the Bible together, learning, growing, sharing, teaching, living, laughing, loving. And so we hope to see you then.
And we're at a big milestone.
We are at a big milestone. Not just us, the listeners are at a big milestone too.
Yeah.
We're one episode away from episode 100. Triple digits.
Million thousand.
Triple digits next one. It's going to be big. Maybe we'll have some surprises for the people?
No. No. Do we?
I don't know. No. Gonna have to tune in to find out. Love you so much. Bye.
Later.